For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
That we are all here today, God has a word for us, and what we're looking at this morning are spiritual lessons from the reign of King Asa. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit here today with us. Father, I ask that every one of us would receive of your word, would understand, and there be openings in our hearts and lives to go forward in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at the spiritual lessons from the reign of King Asa, and this is part one, so probably continue about three parts. Let's have a look at 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14. We're going to be going through over the next three sermons related to this through 2 Chronicles chapter 14, chapter 15 and chapter 16. And every so often we'll look at other verses in the Bible as well. What we see here is an example of a godly king, and you see some of the things that happen in 2 Chronicles 14 and 2 Chronicles 15 as King Asa, who was the king of Judah. There was a division of the kingdoms. There was Judah and Israel. And we see that when we come to King Asa, who was a king of Judah, in chapters 14 and 15, he shows, what we see there is good trends of an obedient person, but it goes all downhill when we get to chapter 16. So we probably won't get to chapter 16 today, but we'll certainly get through 14 and perhaps some of 15 today. Praise the Lord. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 14. We'll start from verse 1. It says, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves." And notice what verse 4 says. "And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment." So here we see a man whose heart at this stage was right before the Lord. And he gave a commandment in verse 4 for Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers. So when we come to look at these chapters, we see that seek and sought, and it is very much used right through the chapters, and is a real key to not only us individually going ahead, but also corporately as a church going ahead. And that is, we become a church that seeks the Lord, that seeks the Lord with all our heart. Not half-heartedly, not give up, but seeks the Lord with all our heart and walk by faith, not by sight. This is so very, very crucial. But notice it says here in verse 4, to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. So here we see obedience. You seek the Lord, the Lord will give you something out of that seeking, and then we must go forward and be doers. The Bible talks about us being doers of the Word of God. So seeking the Lord is absolutely crucial. Keep your finger there and let's have a look at Hebrews 11 verse 6. Go across to Hebrews 11 verse 6. It's important for us to put our eyes onto these scriptures so that it goes into our heart, we're understanding what pleases the Lord, what really pleases God. And of course, that's individually, but also corporately, what's going to please the Lord. Verse 6 says of Hebrews 11, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we see that word seek again. Diligently seek him. So here we see that we must be people of faith. We're to walk by faith, live by faith, stand by faith. Okay? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know that. So we see when we come to God, we must believe that he is. That he is everything he says he is. Everything he says he is. We don't leave out things, as many places do, but he is everything that he says he is. And that he is, and this is a real key to living victoriously, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You put the hand to the plough diligently, not half-heartedly, but diligently, wholeheartedly. We must be people of prayer, we must be people of the word. We must diligently seek him. So going back to 2 Chronicles 14, we'll start from verse 3 again. "For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him." There was peace. There was quiet. Notice he did a clean-up job. I think there has to be a clean-up job within the churches. Not just seeking the Lord, but cleaning up things. Getting away the wrong ways of thinking, the wrong ways of doing. Getting away from what we know is not right concerning the Word of God, and how to approach the Word, and how to trust the Lord from it. There has to be a clean up within the churches, but also a clean up in our society. You can see here that our society is exalting all the wrong types of things, and you don't need me to go into detail about that. I've done it many times. But we can see that there's a seeking of the Lord, there's obedience that King Asa is putting into place. He must understand that there's something here, there's something that is a key, something that's a key. We'll actually see when we come to 2 Chronicles 15 that two prophets speak into his life, and he gets great courage from that to go further than what he's doing now. So you can see what he's doing in verse 5. He says he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. So he concentrated on the cities of Judah there. He gave a commandment to Judah. And the kingdom was quiet before him. Now, whilst it's quiet, that is, whilst the enemies aren't directly attacking and he's not diverted by war and so on, and whilst it's quiet in our life, it should apply as well, we do building. We see here, and we see in these next few verses, that he did building. Building and preparation. Building, sowing and preparation. That's the word the Lord gave me concerning this church some time ago. Sowing and preparation. Sowing and preparation. Sowing and preparation. I've had numerous dreams of many people in this church. Sowing and preparation. Sowing and preparation. Notice what it says in verse 6. "And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest." Why? Because he was seeking the Lord. His heart was right with the Lord. He was seeking the Lord, and there was obedience as well. Therefore, verse 7, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have what? Sought the Lord our God. We have what? Sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Is this a key to prosperity? Yep. The Bible talks a lot about prosperity. There's no use being against prosperity. They built and prospered. They sought the Lord. They sought him. God gave them rest on every side. Rest on every side. And they built. They didn't just sit back and say, oh, great. Right, now I can go and do a bit more pleasure. No, no. Put their hand to the plough. They did. They did what God wanted them to do. Same with us. Prepare, build, sow. Keep your finger there. Just go across to 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. That's what it says here. And I just want to look at the principle here. And it says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What does that mean? God will put you through. God will do it. But you've got to seek him. This is a spiritual law. As long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. You go back to 2 Chronicles 14. So we see here, we'll read verse 7 again. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make them, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Built and prospered. And we saw in that other scripture that God makes the person to prosper. God makes them to prosper. God is on our side. That's what the psalmist says. The Lord is on my side. God will make us to prosper, and is not based on what we see. It's based on what we are doing in line with the Word of God, which is seeking God and doing what He says to do. Seeking God and doing what He says to do. Verse 8. Let's have a look at verse 8. That's what it says in verse 8. And Asa had an army of men that bear targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bear shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Now keep this in mind. That's a powerful army. All of those, hundreds of thousands, were mighty men of valor. Keep it in mind, because he could have said, well, I'll trust in the army, the strength of my army. I'll trust in the strength of my army. But we're going to see something that comes up in just a minute where it shows he doesn't trust in the strength of his army. So should we trust in the strength of man? Should we trust in the hand of man? No. We must seek the Lord. We must get into prayer. We must seek the Lord. We must get into the Word. We must seek the Lord and continue in Him. So he had this huge army. All of them were mighty men of valor. That's what it says there. He could have trusted in that and said, well, you know, an army can come against me. I'll trust in my army. to come against them. Verse 9. Now this is a real key. You really got to grab hold of what it's saying here. It says, "And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,300 chariots, and came unto Maresha." So a million. An army of a million came against them. An army of a million. Now there's a few things we've got to see here. You know, the enemy can present all types of things against you, but fear is his greatest weapon. What we must do is always seek the Lord no matter what. Now notice what Asa did in verse 10. "Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in the ray in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha." And notice what it says in verse 11. "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee." So what's he doing? Is he saying, "Well, I've got my army, they're all valiant men, they're all mighty men, I'm going to go against this army"? No, no, he's seeking the Lord. He's seeking the Lord here in prayer. He's saying, "Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm coming to you." And it says, "For we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." Notice what it says in verse 12. "So the Lord," who? "The Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." Who smote the Ethiopians? The Lord. The Lord made them to prosper because he turned to the Lord, and we'll come to it in chapter 15 and 16. In chapter 16, there's a reminder of this very battle that he had sought the Lord. Verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." The Ethiopians fled. We must seek God first. Keep your finger in there and just have a look at Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. You seek the Lord first. You seek the Lord first. "Lord, am I meant to be doing this? Am I meant to be doing... what am I to do here? Lord, you are my helper. You are my strength." Have a look at Matthew 6. Look at verse 33. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He said, "But seek ye first," what? First? First, not second, first. "First, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Who's doing the adding? The Lord. Who's doing the seeking? Us. Can you see? You put God... he's in the right place in your life. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles 14. Verse 12. "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil." So here we see the prosperity continues in King Asa's kingdom. Verse 14, "And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, And they spoiled all the cities, for there was an exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So we see 2 Chronicles chapter 14 is full of victory. And we see why. Because they were seeking the Lord. And they were doing, they were building, doing what God wanted. They were obeying the law, the word of God. They were listening to God. And then the Lord did works for them and through them. We must keep this in mind, because there is such, and I mentioned it right at the very beginning, so if you heard that little sermonette right at the beginning, you're getting extra to what we looked at here. We must keep the fear out of us. God has delivered us from all our fears. We must keep the fear out of us and believe for God to do a work of increase. And whilst we are, and praise the Lord for this church, that God has done wonderful things in it's just too much to express at the moment, but we know that in this time of quiet we should be building and sowing and preparing, because there are big things ahead. Big things ahead. We've got time to go to continue on into chapter 15, and you're going to be encouraged by chapter 15 as well. But chapter 16 is a great warning, okay? So when we strike chapter 16, it's a great warning. Chapter 15, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So Azariah and Oded were prophets, okay? Notice what Azariah says, verse 2. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye, what? Seek. This word seek comes up a lot, doesn't it? Sought, seek, comes up constantly. If ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. If ye seek him, he'll be found of you. If ye seek him, he'll be found of you. And this is still Azariah speaking in verse 3. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. So he's talking about the kingdom of Israel next door to them. But, so he's giving an object lesson here to King Asa. He's showing what happens when people seek the Lord. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, that's in the times that they sought him, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. So that tells us that when Israel was seeking the Lord, then God would vex those that were trying to trouble them. And imagine if the whole church got on board and sought the Lord. Not just this church, but right across the land. Anything that's troubling the church now, and there's much troubling the body of Christ now, the Lord would vex those that are doing the adversity and being the adversary. So here we see that Azariah is saying to King Asa, if you seek him, he'll be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And he gave the example of Israel. When there were times of trouble and they sought the Lord, then God would vex all those that had troubled them. Notice what he says to verse Asa in King Asa in verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore. That's on the basis of that example that I just gave you. And let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Your work shall be rewarded. Isn't that wonderful? And look at what verse 8 says. And when Asa heard these words, that's the words that Azariah had given, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, so there was also a prophecy of Oded the prophet talking about this area, what did he do? So verse 8, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. What's going to give us courage? The word of God. The Spirit of God will agree with the word of God. And he will give us courage through the word of God. Praise the Lord. Isn't that what it says at verse 1? It says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. So Azariah went and spoke these words to King Asa through the Spirit of God. And King Asa also had the prophecy of Oded to look at as well. He took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. So previously, in chapter 14, he put away particularly in the cities of Judah. Now he's talking, is a much greater scale here. Much greater scale. It says he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So we see even some of the tribes of Israel, the king of Israel, had come and joined up with King Asa, who was king of Judah. So we see here that he gathered them together in Jerusalem, verse 10, and they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. So we know that all this that we've been reading about has happened in these first 15 years of his reign. And notice what it says in verse 11. I think we'll be able to get to the end of chapter 15. Let's get to the end of chapter 15. We'll look at chapter 16 next time. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to what? Seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Now this is very, very important. Half-heartedness will not do it. It must be with all your heart and with all your soul to seek the Lord God. And it shows how serious it is in verse 13. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel would be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. That's how serious King Asa saw it. Verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and, what's this word? Sought him with their whole desire. And what does it say here? And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. The Lord was giving them rest. Praise the Lord. Not only that, King Asa didn't even let his family get in the way. What did he do in verse 16? And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. It's where she kept the idol, a place where they had trees there. Idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. So he didn't even let her get in the way. He said, no, it's got to be this clean sweep. I'm going to do, all of Judah's going to do what God wants. Can you imagine the whole of Australia like this? There'll be a lot of cleaning up to do. Verse 17, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Why? Because he was king of Judah. And he only had control or influence of the tribes which had joined up with him. But the king of Israel was still over there under, and we'll see in a minute, under a king or kings that were not doing the right thing. Verse 17, nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. He's talking about the days here that we've been describing. Verse 18, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. Did he honour the Lord? Yes. Did he value the house of God? Yes. What's the house of God today? The church. We're the temple of the living God. And so he valued it enough. Verse 19 is a wonderful statement. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. 35 years Asa had victory. 35 years of victory. And we see, looking through it, we see a constant theme of seeking the Lord and doing what God wanted. Removing out of his life, his kingdom, all the wrong things, and in putting into place all the right things, building the right things, and so on. But chapter 16 is a tale of woe. And we'll look at that next time. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer and open up to the Spirit of God. We praise you, Lord, and thank you. We thank you, Father, for your blessing and your help. We thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves to be people that seek you with all our heart in the name of Jesus. And with your grace, with your help, we will do that. Let every person here, I pray, have impressed upon their heart to seek you, Lord, to put you first in everything, to obey and to get the wrong things out in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.